This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, it's springtime in mid-Illinois, and pastures are greening up, and calves and kids can be found on a majority of farms that have livestock. On Wednesday, I spent the afternoon with Tom and Jean Anderson on their farm in Butler, with 47 baby goats and a number of calves running through their pastures. After the farm tour, Tom and I sat around his kitchen table and talked about how things were going on the farm.
We do. We've had, last week was goat week. We had, from Sunday till last Friday, we had 45 babies born out of 17 does. And that's like our best percentage that we've ever had. We've been in the goat business 5 years. And they all come real quick, and we worked really, really hard all week to keep them alive, and we was pretty successful, and we'll go on to our next crop next year. Our goats is kind of a hobby, but it's my wife is a retired teacher, so this is her new crop of kids. She has 45 in this class.
So you said 45 out of 17. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but that's more than one per animal. So is that normal? And how many do goats normally have for people that aren't familiar with raising goats?
They have, we had only two does that had singles, and the rest had twins, triplets, and we actually had four does have four babies apiece. And that is really unusual. We've only ever had four one other time. And they only have two dinner plates, so the guys have to learn to share.
Let's talk about what type of goats you have. You said when I asked you earlier, they're kind of crossbred, but they're breeds, and then what they're used for. They're not dairy goats, right? They're meat goats?
They are not dairy goats. That's not my line of work. It's not part of my job description. But they are meat goats. We have the Savannahs and Kiko Cross. We have a high percentage of Savannah goats, which is not very common. You hear a lot more about Kikos and Boer goats. They're all three meat breeds. And we do market our billy goats, our young billies, as a meat product. Not very well known, but goat meat, and not particularly in the United States, is the number one meat in the world. And it's kind of exciting to be part of that business, but you don't know anything about it, you know. It's, you know, a nationality thing.
That is really neat and something that I didn't know, so learn something new every day. They're meat goats, so you're selling them. The market is pretty good right now, right?
This being the Easter time, that's a really good market time for goats. Ours are just being barn, so we won't sell any till like in August or September of next year. And you try to hit the holidays where certain religions require a goat or goat meat, those people that eat that kind of meat. And you try to market at that time. There is some people that have goats, their babies are born early and they're marketed for the Easter market. And yes, they're probably $2.50 to $3 a pound, and you market them when they're about 65 pounds.
Do you sell them locally, just take them to a local sale barn?
Ours are marketed. The Greenville Livestock Auction has a really good meat market, and that's where ours go. And then also we sell our dolings as pretty much get all those sold as breeding stock, what we don't want to keep for ourselves. And we don't want to increase. We only want so many does. We don't want any big population. I don't know what I'd do if I had 100 of them.
Well, they're pretty cute to watch run around the pasture, so I guess you could have fun watching them if you have that many, but it would be a lot of work. How many times a year can they have babies, or how long does it take them compared to cows are similar to humans? You know, it's about 9 months. How long does it take for a goat to give birth?
A goat will have a gestation period of about five months, 150 days. So We only get one crop of lambs a year. We don't try to get two. I don't know if you could wean them early. I think you could probably wean them early and you'd get a percentage of them, but you'd be burdening your breeding stock. So we don't do that. We also don't try not to let them have babies till they're 2 years old. And we like to keep some of our own stock back and, start them on our own. And that's how we've increased our herd and kept our herd, going is with our own production.
Goats are smaller animals, so there are predators, I guess I'll call them. Coyotes can be an issue. You even mentioned bobcats earlier. So you do have, I guess we'll call her a watchdog or a guardian dog that is out in the pasture at all times, and I think that's a pretty important part of taking care of the goats.
We actually do have a Great Pyrenees and stays with the goats 24/7, and she knows what she's supposed to do. She's very protective of the goats. Not that she's aggressive to humans, but she you'll hear her working all night long. She'll be out in the timber or up close to the goats, and she'll bark and send a message to those coyotes. Plus, she'll work the perimeter of the pasture probably on a daily basis. You'll see her take off and take a walk. When our goats are having babies, they are not in the pasture. They're in a small lot so as that we can keep track of them. Try to keep them there till the babies are old enough to run pretty fast. That's their method of escape.
Makes sense. And sounds like, as I already said, that it's important to have that dog out there with them. I want to talk now about your cattle. You've got several of those running around the farm, too. What breed do you have and how many head? And just talk a little bit about your cattle operation.
We keep an Angus-based cow herd, both red and black Angus. And we, for the most part, follow a crossbreeding program where we get some hybrid vigor from having two breeds working together, and we use three. We use red Angus, black Angus, and Angus Simmental mix bulls to get some hybrid vigor in our calves, and we think we produce a pretty good quality animal, and we're very satisfied with our marketing program. We sell some feeder calves, but we also feed some out, and of course we keep back replacement heifers. So our replacement heifers will come from high percentage black Angus and purebred or high percentage red Angus cows.
So obviously I said you've got calves on the ground now, so spring calving, reasons why you choose to do that. I've talked to farmers who have fall calves and some even early in the winter, just depending on the timing of things, but why in the spring for you guys?
We have a lot of grazing land, and we do have some fall calving cows. About a third of our herd will have calves in the fall of the year, but the lion's share of them are born in March and early April, and then our calves are ready for the flush of grass, and we do a lot of grazing, and they convert that grass into beef and makes us a marketable product.
So we've been talking about the livestock that you have, goats and cows, but you also have the grain side of the farm, and you mentioned your wife who helps with the goats, but you've got two sons who help with the farming operation also?
Yes, Jason is involved as well with the beef cattle. He has a few goats of his own, but the goat thing is Gene and my, and I actually probably think it's mostly Gene's. I'm just like her hard man. But the cattle, Jason shares in that, and then we have an extensive grain operation, and Adam also works in the grain operation. Jason, we all work together to farm in the grain side of it, and Adam also has a seed business.
For those people that don't know where you're located, which a lot of people listening, I'm going to imagine, do, you're right on 127 in Butler, And you told me a funny story about the sign that's on one of your buildings, and I didn't know if you wanted to share that story with anyone. Because there's a sign that says Anderson's Steakhouse, I believe. So, and there's a story behind that?
There is. You know, we live in a small community, and of course, when I built the barn, local contractor put the barn up for me. A lot of the equipment was made at our machining, and a lot of people had a hand in it. So for Christmas, I think it was probably Mr. Ronnie Reynolds showed up Christmas morning with a sign, and I was out doing chores, and it says Anderson's Steakhouse on it. And he put the sign on the building while I was outside, unaware. As he drove out, I guess he lost the ladder on the highway, and I still didn't know it. And I think I went to Hillsboro, and somebody asked me about it 2 days later. I'm not very observant, but thanks to those guys, I have a name on my cattle barn.
So for those of you driving along Route 127 and you're going to go through Butler, keep your eye out for the red shed with Anderson's Steakhouse on the sign. I think that's a great story. Tom, it's springtime. It's a little wet to be doing any field work right now, but plans for the spring, what's next as soon as things dry out for you guys on the grain side of the business?
We put on a little bit of anhydrous this spring. We've got to work, I think, 2 days in the field. That'll be the first order of business, will be the finished fertilizer applications. And, of course, it appears that this rain and wet spell is probably going to run into the middle of April, and that's going to make a lot of us anxious. We do use the roads, and, of course, that's where we need the help of all of your listeners, as farmers will be anxious to get to their fields. We regret that we have to be on the roads. We appreciate you cooperating with us, and we'll try to get out of the way as much as we can. Thanks to everybody.
And once again, that spring farm update comes from Tom Anderson of Butler in Montgomery County. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.